Last week, Pastor Bob spoke about the Beatitudes, those wisdom sayings that comprise the opening section of chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. The whole of this chapter, combined with chapters 6 and 7, have become known as the Sermon on the Mount. This book introduces us to Jesus' ministry, which began after the arrest of John the Baptist. It is certain that this Sermon on the Mount was not one specific teaching moment, but represents a compilation of Jesus' teachings over many days, or weeks, or even months. Matthew has knitted together many different teaching topics, or lectures, if you will, into a cohesive story, important to the development of his disciples and followers, and all Christians throughout time. The first part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, speaks about the character of a Christian. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure of heart, the peacemakers. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. These are the characteristics of a follower of Jesus, of a Christian. Now, in today's reading, Jesus is turning his attention to the 12. Here he is addressing the disciples directly, and by extension, talking to us today. Now, if the Beatitudes spoke about the character of a Christian, then in this second part of chapter 5, Matthew records Jesus' thoughts on the conduct of a Christian. He tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." He doesn't say, "You should be," or "You should strive to be." He says, "You are." He is challenging them and us to be the kind of Christian our character calls us to be. It is a challenge to conduct our lives in ways that represent Christ on earth, to take the characteristics described in the earlier verses and put them into practice. Here Jesus is calling to mind the words of the prophet Isaiah. Now remember, in the second part of today's reading, Jesus says he has not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. So what is he asking us to fulfill? Let's pause here for a moment and read the scripture from Isaiah, which is included in our lectionary reading for today. It is Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 9a. And if you want to follow along, you can find this passage on page 688 of the Old Testament section of your pew Bibles. A reading from the book of Isaiah. "Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways. As if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgment. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast and you do not see? Why humble ourselves but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all of your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then will your light break forth like a dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator will go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Here on the Mount, Jesus is reminding his followers of the kind of life they are to live, the character and conduct expressed by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus' disciples would have known well these words from Isaiah, but like the other Israelites of their day, they had forgotten how they were supposed to live. They had gotten hung up on the religious rituals of the time. They had lost sight of the true meaning, the true reason for sacrifice in the name of God. So, why did Jesus choose the symbols of salt and light to make his disciples understand? Well, salt and light are mentioned throughout the Old Testament, the Torah. In fact, light is mentioned in the first verse of the Bible as God was creating the world. And in most Hebrew writings of the day, light was a metaphor for salvation. Salt was a precious commodity. In fact, it was used as currency. Roman soldiers were paid in salt. Salt was an important part of ritual sacrifices throughout Hebrew history. Throughout the Old Testament, sacrifices, whether they be crops or animals, were first coated with salt. Newborn babies were rubbed with salt to ward off evil spirits. In Jesus' day, salt was combined with olive oil and other lotions to create medicinal ointments used in a variety of ways. Wounds were doused with salt to stanch the bleeding. But of course, the most common usage of salt was as a preservative. They didn't have refrigeration back then. Meat and fish were cured and stored in salt to protect them from spoiling. So Jesus tells his disciples that they are important commodities. They are the thing that is necessary to preserve the Christian tradition. And they are a light to a people who walk in darkness. D.L. Moody tells this story about how important light is. The entrance to the harbor of Cleveland, Ohio, is identified by two lighthouses, one on either side of the bay. One of them is located high on a bluff, above the rocks. The other is on a breakwater at near the mouth of the harbor. Now, the weather on Lake Erie can be very violent at times and often springs up with little or no warning. Ship captains and pilots rely on those lights to steer them safely into harbor. One stormy night, a ship was trying to reach port in Cleveland. The captain said to the pilot, "I can see the uppermost light off to our port side, but where is the other light, the lower light?" And the pilot replied, "I can't find it either. And without it, we are in serious trouble." Well, the ship continued on its course to the dock, steering toward that lighthouse, searching for the lower light which would guide them through the rocks and into safe harbor. It never appeared. In fact, on that night, the light had gone out. The great ship was dashed on the rocks, and many aboard were lost. Lost for the lack of a light. Friends, we are the light of the world when we live our lives as Jesus commands, when our character and our conduct conform to the will of God. As God says in Isaiah, we are not to confine ourselves to personal acts of sacrifice or worship, for they are empty in his sight. Our faith must be lived out. We must live out the characteristics described in the Beatitudes to be truly Christian. Faith that confines us. Faith that is self-centered and self-promoting is worthless. Salvation is ours through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, but it comes at a cost. We must act on our faith. Outside these walls, in our homes, at school, at work, at the mall, and yes, even on the street corners. We must care for others, sometimes at the expense of our own comfort. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? What do you think you are? A thermometer or a thermostat? Lots of blank looks. Well, let me explain what I'm asking. A thermometer tells us the temperature. It reflects its environment, reports on it, but it cannot change it. A thermostat, on the other hand, makes a difference. A thermostat is used to alter the environment. It is an active participant in the environment because it can change it. So I ask again, are you a thermometer or a thermostat? Are you willing to live a life that responds to God's call in the world? Or are you comfortable surrounding yourself with the trappings of religion? Are you willing to help free the oppressed, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless? Or are you content to write a check and let others go in your stead? Now don't get me wrong. Giving to worthy charities and missions is an important part of our Christian lives together. For there are many who are better equipped to respond to disasters, travel to the far corners of the globe, and provide specific care, fill specific needs that we cannot do. But that is not sufficient. That is not what Jesus is telling his disciples they must do. Jesus offers us a challenge in these verses. He does not say, go out and try to act like the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He says, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are, not we should be. That's a great thing, but also an awesome responsibility. So remember this. We are like the lights of Cleveland Harbor, shining the way to safety and salvation. But just like the entrance to Cleveland, there is a high light and a lower light. God is the higher light, but without us acting as His light here on earth, many will stumble and be lost in the darkness, dashed on the rocks of sin and despair. We can't be that light sitting in these pews on Sunday morning. We must live out our faith on a daily basis, wherever we are, in whatever we do. Are you going to be a thermometer or a thermostat? Let us pray. Gracious God, you are a light to us, just as you have called us to be a light to the world. Give us the strength and the wisdom to be that light, to be that salt. Shake us from our comfort zones and lead us into paths that you would have us go, that we might break the yoke of injustice, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and do all those things that Jesus has called us to be about. For we know we can only succeed with your help and guidance. We can only succeed when your hand rests firmly upon us, and your love and your peace are a part of us. We want to be that light. We want to be the salt of the earth that you say that we are. Help us, Lord. Help us to answer the call, and in all that we say and do, to act as your light here in your kingdom. Amen.